Okay, we're back with the Beattyville blogger, Ben Harrington, who's also a business journalist. Good morning, Ben. How are you today?
Very well, thanks.
Right, what was in the papers? Actually, I was reading, I do actually read over the weekend because it's so boring without the markets open. I have to read, I have to read the Beattyville emails that come in.
Which
is nothing else to do. And basically, I read about the non-Sainsbury's takeover story, which I loved. I thought that was just a great, you know, it was just journalism is at its finest, I think.
Well, actually, I thought that was quite a good story by Mark. It was Mark Kleinman's story, a former colleague of mine from when I was when I worked at the Daily Telegraph and Sunday Telegraph, and he put that story out on a Saturday afternoon, saying CVC had teamed up with Qataris who own a 26, 27, 28, 29% stake already in Sainsbury's, and Brookfield, who the Qataris have done a transaction with to take private Canary Wharf, or the company that owns Canary Wharf, and they'd lined up Perella Weinberg, the advisory boutique, and Deutsche Bank to advise and finance on the transaction. High level of detail, which implies that it was absolutely on the money. He'd also said, I think, that or reported that the takeover panel knew about their consortium and they were planning to make an approach, which implies it was quite an advanced situation. However, the deal's been abandoned, according to Mark. And there's always a bit of lively debate when I worked in newsrooms permanently about whether, you know, whether we should run dead deal stories or old deal stories. M&A reporters are a bit biased because they tend to think, well, it's very difficult information to get in the first place, and it's quite possible that, you know, the deal might get rekindled in a month or a couple of months' time. That happened to me on a story that I did where it was Centrica trying to buy Venture Production, and they basically decided to give up on not pursue the transaction after they found out that we'd found out about it and were planning on running a story. So we had to change our story. and then a couple of months later, lo and behold, they made a hostile bid for Venture Production. And now I'm not sure that's going to necessarily happen here, but I thought it was quite an interesting story by Mark. It got a little bit of follow in the Sunday papers. Sunday Times did a nib on it, but it also, you know, it also gave me a platform a little bit to talk about another dead deal or an old deal story that I'd come across back end of last week from a very good old banking contact, that apparently ExxonMobil got quite close to or started talking to BP at the back end of last year. Now, from my understanding of that situation, there were certain advisors involved for various reasons. I can't mention who they are. The whole thing was sort of kiboshed at the end of 2015. No idea whether it's live anymore, but it sounded like it isn't. So, but it's still worth airing because I think at the end of the day, that transaction will probably happen at one day.
Well, it's worth airing, yeah. Because if you're just like not quite sure whether you want to be buying BP shares at the moment or not, that might just...
Well, I'm not here to hand out tips or give investment
I'm
ideas.
I'm talking about my...
Speculations and stood up stories, but yeah.
Personal point of view, let's say that the shares are at the bottom of the range and you're just umming and ahhing about whether to buy BP shares. Listening to a story like that might just tip you into doing that, thinking, well, something might happen over and above just, you know, the shares being at the bottom of the range or the oil price.
Well, that's your view. I can't really comment on
that. So, and just on getting back to the Sainsbury situation, putting one and one together and trying to come up with three, does that explain maybe why the Sainsbury was so keen to buy home retail? As a sort of, not a poison pill, but as a way of defending itself against a possible takeover?
Well,
another of my own views.
Is that your point of view?
Yes, that's my point of view. Yes.
Right. Okay. I mean, you could look at it in that.
That's why
that quite cynical lens. But
that's why it was useful to know about that non-story at the weekend, because then it's sort of finally so that's why Sainsbury's bought Home Retail Group, and then it just gets the whole.
That's not necessarily a particularly good reason to do a £1 billion transaction, is it? Just to defend yourself from another bid.
I couldn't.
You're looking at it from the very through a very sort of cynical.
It used to be the old. I mean, the old. I think in the 80s, in the 80s and 90s, when there was actually, you know, sort of lots of swashbuckling M&A from various players, you know, glamorous players, then you tended to get those sorts of dawn raids and all this sort of stuff going on.
These sort of white knight type
White
bits,
knights yeah. and all
Although
this.
This sort isn't of really quite a white knight, is it? It's more.
And the poison pills, etc. So,
yeah.
So it's that sort of thing. I was just like, now you might have Arm Holdings decides to go for Imagination Technologies because, you know, there's rumours that, you know, Apple might be.
But that's a bit different because Arm Holdings.
That really would be a poison pill.
Than Imagination Technologies. But yeah, you could view it that. I'm sure if you asked the Sainsbury's management team whether that was the reason, they would probably definitely deny that. But I'm sure you're entitled. You know, we live in a liberal democracy, and you're entitled to your
point
of view.
For the time being, yes.
Yeah.
The Sunday
Times, I thought, had a pretty interesting story about something that we've talked about on here a couple of months ago. Medivation. Does that name ring a bell to you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Sunday Times splashed on the story about AstraZeneca looking at whether it should make or submit an offer for Medivation, which is this US listed biopharmaceutical company that specializes in or has a drug that for prostate cancer. I was the first person to mention the takeover rumors around Medivation on TIP TV a couple of months ago. Since then, the wire services, Bloomberg and Reuters have seemed to be in competition to outdo each other on the follow-up stories surrounding that. I think, can't remember which one, but one of them reported that Medivation had hired JP Morgan as a sort of defense advisor, but hadn't been appointed to carry out a sale. Then another one of the wires reported that Sanofi, the French company that sort of pretty much sat on the sidelines during the biotech / pharma M&A boom of last year, so because of had made an approach for Medivation, which had been rejected, but then was thinking about coming back. So, and I think there might be some wire reports, I was told, although I haven't seen them myself this morning, as I just before I came onto the show, talking a bit about Sanofi making a $65 a share approach, I think. That really is unconfirmed. I don't know whether that's the case or not. But it's quite interesting. Clearly, you know, valuations have come down substantially since the middle of last year in that whole US biotech sector. So those companies that sat on the sidelines, Sanofi being a good example, possibly Roche as well last year, although Roche ended up buying Intermune, which we talked about a couple of years ago, for quite a high price. Looking at transactions. I mean, Sanofi being talked about in the context of Medivation is interesting because I'd actually also heard that they were looking at Actelion in Switzerland, which has had a very strong run, which Shire tried to merge with or approach last year but got rejected because they were a bit they weren't very generous on the premium. I think it was only a 20% premium, but I think they're in competition with Johnson & Johnson, you know, the US sort of juggernaut, behemoth for Actelion. So who knows?
And also
big questions about whether the chief executive or chairman of Actelion, who I think is one of the largest shareholders, is really ever will sell the company. But those shares have been very strong recently, possibly around speculation to do linking to M&A speculation, I don't know. But anyway, that's the speculation at the moment.
All right, well, we're out of time on that note, Ben Harrison.
Out of time already.
Out of time, unfortunately. You'll have to tell me all your gems offline. I'll have to save it for next time. Business journalist and BTV.
I think there were a few gems in there if you were listening.
There were, yes, exactly. Yes, I was. Yeah. I was listening. Yes, I was rather forced to listen. I'm sitting here. But Ben Harrington, business journalist, BTV blogger, thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.